G'day everyone, welcome to Not The Footy Show. It's grand final time. I'm Warwick Nicholson. Kevin Campion, we spoke to him midway through the week on our grand final show. Here is just his interview as a standalone, and I hope you enjoy Manly up against the Warriors in the grand final.
Five tackles gone, and again the call is there for the defence. There's a punch-up! Webby is trading punches with Campion. Mander has stopped play.
Yeah, I think that Shane Webby will be penalised here. He was nailed by Kevin Campion on the inside pass.
Okay, everybody. Well, Kevin Campion was on the show earlier this year to talk about Darren Lockyer. But poor old Lockie is gone, so we've got Kevin back on to talk about the Warriors because this man who played, as we mentioned before, almost every single club in the NRL played in four grand finals. Is that right, Kevin?
That's it, mate, yeah.
And you played for...
Yeah,
you played for the Warriors in 2002. So who better to speak to about the Warriors' chances than Kevin Campion?
Thanks, mate.
Oh, that's all right, mate. You can go. You can take the accolades. We're happy to give them out here on Not The Footy Show because no one's given it to us. So, mate, you played as in the Dragons in 96 as a runner-up, and you won in 98 and 2000 with the Broncos and run-up again with the Warriors. Mate, we're looking at the fact that, you know, you only played 2 years over there with the Warriors, but when you guys made the grand final back in 2002, what was the feeling like in Auckland at the time?
Mate, it was unbelievable. Look, we finished with the minor premiership that year, yep. So I mean, we had a. I think we only lost five games in the season proper. So, mate, we were confident. We were a good side. It was not unlike a Broncos side that I previously played in. So, you know, there was a bit of an arrogance about that side that we knew that we could. We were just going to win.
Yep.
And unfortunately, it got to the last game, and we didn't.
in terms of the area embracing you guys as the first grand final that the Warriors had made, what was the reaction from the public at that time?
Well, we had tremendous support. Look, especially in Auckland, where you know there is a stronghold of rugby league supporters in the north. Obviously, you remember all the. The test at Carlisle Park and that, you know, over the years against Australia, mate, there's a really strong contingent of rugby league support, especially in Auckland. Mate, and they came out in droves. We just won so many games in 2002 and, you know, we did finish with the minor premiership. People forget that. We were the, I know the Bulldogs got stripped of some points right at the end, but, we beat the Bulldogs that year. We were probably one of the only sides to beat them.
That's a good
point. So, mate, we were going into the finals series very, very confident.
Well, hi, Kevin. It's Nick here. We'll move on to this Sunday, and we'll just ask you, in your opinion, especially in the midst of the Rugby World Cup going on right now and right in the middle of it with the grand final pending on Sunday, what kind of impact will a Warriors victory have on rugby league in New Zealand?
Look, it's obviously going to have an impact. It's unfortunate that the Rugby World Cup is being played in New Zealand at the moment because you know there's no bigger support in the world than New Zealand with their rugby.
Yeah, yeah,
that's it. And that's does have an effect on rugby league over there. But if you ask any Kiwi, they will know that the Warriors are playing, whether they're rugby league supporters or rugby supporters, they'll know that the Warriors are playing in the grand final this weekend. And, you know, I think all of New Zealand will be definitely barracking for them.
I actually think in some ways it's probably almost a good thing that it's happening during the World Cup because they're in that carnival festival atmosphere as it is, and this is going to be like that cherry on the top. I mean, it's not like they're playing it on the same day as the World Cup final, so...
No, and that's right, mate. And you'll be surprised, at the grand final, at the stadium this weekend, there will be 70% New Zealand support there. Obviously they can't all get over there to watch the rugby, but the next best thing is to go and watch the rugby league grand final in Sydney. So, mate, they will be going out in droves, and it was an amazing feeling. And I still, I'm just getting shivers now, running out onto the stadium and singing, singing the Australian anthem and then the Kiwi anthem, which was such a great moment for me in rugby league. But it'll just be amazing for the players.
Mate, we're hoping that it's like 95% Warriors fans there on Sunday.
That's a great thing about it. With the Manly side, there's a flavour of New Zealand in there as well.
Yeah,
so they'll have some good support, but they've won 17 premierships, so it's time for New Zealand to win one.
Completely agree. There's no doubt at all. There's a bit of an anti-Manly stance on this show, which is fine. That's the way they like it. They like it that way, so we're happy to oblige. Warriors all the way. Mate, in terms of preparations, we mentioned you played in four. If you compare the preparation back in 1996 versus the preparation in 2002, what kind of differences were there leading up to the games?
Well, mate, the difference for me in 1996, I wasn't prepared mentally for that game.
Yeah.
I was only a young guy, 24, but I was just happy to be playing first grade, and I was with some very, very good players, who'd played at Australian level and Queensland level or New South Wales level, but I was starting second row with Dave Barnhill and Scott Gulay.
Yeah.
So, mate, I was, mentally I was out of my league, I guess, and
okay.
I wasn't prepared for the game. I just got caught up in the hype. Outside influences were making havoc with my mind, and all I was thinking about, I wasn't thinking about doing my job or doing what was needed for the team. You go to 90, I think it was 98, and it wasn't until the night before the grand final that I couldn't sleep during the week.
Okay.
Because it does play mentally. It does. if you're not prepared for it, it just plays havoc on you. But I just had the best night's sleep the night before the game because I finally, got it. But all I had to do was concentrate on what I had to do for the team.
Okay.
Where in 96, I didn't.
Yeah.
2000, I was, totally relaxed for the whole week because I knew all I had to do was do my job for the team. In 2002, I was very, very relaxed. All I knew I had to do was my job for the team. And, guys that hadn't been there, I think BJ Marsh might have played the previous year off the bench, but
yeah, good point.
I was one of, say, only two in that side that had grand final experience, where the Roosters had a lot of grand final experience, guys got caught up in the week and the hype, and, it just showed on the night that, half a dozen guys just weren't mentally prepared for that game.
Yeah, speaking of that match, not the Footy Show fans may not know about a rather famous or infamous story about the experience you guys as a team had at halftime.
Mate, I don't want to go over dead. Actually, I do.
Yes.
I love talking about it, mate. It was one of the most bizarre experiences of my rugby league career. And I had a laugh with Ivan, a couple of years after that grand final. Everyone had forgotten about what happened at half time, but,
just take us through what happened, mate.
Sorry, mate.
Just take us through what happened.
Mate, well, what happened was, at half time, you expect the coach to come in and tell you what's going wrong, what we need to improve on, and whatnot. Anyway, Daniel Anderson came in. He told a few certain players who weren't having very good games to just keep on doing what they were doing.
Okay.
And all they were doing was killing us, crueling us. And then he left the room. Anyway, we had one of the assistants turned on this bloody tape recorder, and it was a mock commentary of the Warriors, in the grand final, playing in a grand final, the Warriors v the Broncos.
Yeah.
And it basically went, and it had an announcer like Rabbits Warren's, commentating the call. Welcome to the 2002 grand final, the Warriors v the Broncos. And it had this mock commentary of the Warriors, the last ditch final, grand final try in the last minute. But it went through 30 sets of hands and we scored under the post to win the grand final. And I'm just sitting in the room, just gobsmacked of what I was listening to. And if I could have thrown that tape recorder as hard as I could against the wall, I would have. But yeah, mate, it was a bizarre incident, and it'll go down in grand final folklore.
It will. Now, is there any confirmation that it was actually Reg Warren done by Billy Birmingham?
Mate, I don't know who it was, but they had a great commentary voice, I tell you.
Well, there you go. Nick hasn't heard that story before. Nick, mate, you play at a decent level of soccer. If your coach walks in with a tape recorder and goes through... What I found hilarious about the story, mate, is that it's the Broncos. It's not even... They didn't even re-record it to play the Roosters.
The coach was obviously thinking that the Broncos would beat Roosters the week before and didn't bother about changing it. That would have made it all even more laughable.
But, Nick, how would you react to that kind of thing?
I can't think of anything that would take away from my concentration more. Unbelievable.
Actually, you know, well, the thing is, at half-time, guys were actually jumping up and throwing their fists in the air thinking that we won the grand final.
were they the same six blokes that had a shocker in the first half?
Yeah, there was a few of them, mate, yeah.
Very good, mate. Actually, it's funny you mention it in that context, because for our podcast on the grand final show that you listen to, everyone's listening to right now, we're actually doing a mock version of how we think the grand final end up. We're doing two endings. We're doing one that's with the Manly winning, which will be very disappointing. Yeah. And then we're doing one with the Warriors. So can you send us, like, I don't know if you got a chance, but send us a copy of that tape and we can just play that instead?
Mate, I did have a copy of it, and you wouldn't believe it. I had it on my, when I was at the Warriors coaching in 2005, I had it. Someone sent it to me, and I had it. I don't know where it is, but I've got it somewhere.
That would be absolutely fantastic. But yeah, everybody, we promise a pretty big story here from Kevin Camp, and he's delivered. Now, Nick has a final question for you, mate.
Yeah, well, we know you played next to Ivan Cleary as your fullback in 2002. Was there anything, any anticipation or any... Did he ever mention he was going to be a coach? And could you ever foresee him leading, him being the man to lead the Warriors to the grand final 9 years later?
Mate, when he retired from football, he took up a coaching lane as a reserve grade coach at the Roosters. So he got into it pretty quickly, straight after his career.
Yep.
And he actually won. He won the reserve grade premiership a year later, I think, in 2004,
wouldn't it? Yeah, when they made the three grades.
Mate, so he has got, you know, he's got pretty good credentials just in that. So, mate, you could see that he was. Look, he's very focused. He doesn't say much, but when he does speak, obviously, he it makes sense.
He's a very cool looking customer, isn't he?
Mate, and he's so calm, and I think that's sort of rubbing off against his with his players at the moment. You know, they're really calm how they're going about their wares at the moment. You know, they're playing really patient football, and you saw on the weekend, you know, in the 77th minute where they could have tried their hand a bit earlier, you know, played their hand a bit earlier and tried to, you know, do something fancier, but they ground out a good couple of sets to get into a scoring opportunity against the Storm, and just a bit of brilliance with that Sean Johnson. It was amazing. It was great.
We made a comment. We did a review of the games on Monday, and I think you look at the different sets between that Warriors set where they actually looked to score and put the game beyond doubt versus what the Storm tried to do two or three sets earlier, where they just basically waited to the fifth tackle to kick. There wasn't
down the other end,
you know,
right.
And they had their chances, but they just tried to rely on the kick to score. Whereas, you know, the Warriors, once they got that chance at the end to put the game away, they did it. That's a really good sign going into the grand final, isn't it?
Oh, definitely, mate. Yeah, and you know, I don't think the Storm gave the Warriors enough respect in that regard. You know, they just thought they'd come on the day, and you could tell in the aftermatch functions, aftermatch speeches, that they were shocked and you know, obviously bitterly disappointed, but. You know, they were beaten by a Storm outfit.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. They got outstormed, the old Storm. It's a very
they
good
were,
point.
They were, mate, they were, yeah.
We go towards Sunday, mate, and I know, well, I'm hoping that definitely you're going for the Warriors, but can you give us a score, mate? What do you think the score is in the end?
Look, it's going to be a great grand final. I think it's going to be, you know, one of the tightest, toughest grand finals in, you know, probably a decade. So, mate, I'm just picking the Warriors by 8.
By 8. And Clive Churchill medalist?
Mate, the Clive Churchill medalist, Well, I'm hoping it's Michael Luck. I think he deserves it.
Yeah, that's actually a good call. And, of course, for all the punters out there, they want to know who's going to score the first try, mate.
Mate, the big Manu, the big beast on the wing.
Now, hey. just quickly on him, how good's his last 2 weeks been after that shocker against the Broncos?
Mate, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And that's a, it's great that the coach actually supported him after that loss. You know, if you look back at in 2002, the coach that we had probably wouldn't have supported that, and that guy would have went into the grand final, into the next game just shattered.
Yeah.
You know, it's, yeah. Mate, and that's the type of coach. You know, there's a lot of Wayne Bennett in Ivan Cleary.
Okay.
He's just, he's way beyond his years, and
he's definitely the coolest customer going around, isn't he?
Sorry, mate?
He's definitely the coolest customer going around.
Mate, he's cool, mate, very relaxed.
Very, very good. Well, Kevin Campion, mate, it's been out the second...
From the, sorry, from Northern Beaches.
Go again, bud. Sorry, I cut you off.
I said he's a surfer from the Northern Beaches, mate. What do you expect?
Explains it all.
I won't hold that against him, though.
Indeed. Actually, that's a very good point. Was he a North Sydney or a Manly junior?
Mate, I think he's a North Sydney. We played North Sydney first there, yeah.
And then he got picked up by Manly. Anyway, Kevin Campion, we thank you very much for being on our grand final show. Thanks again for being on our show earlier in the year. It's been a pleasure talking to you, mate, and hearing that famous story about the halftime tape recorder.
Good on you, boys.
Well, if you enjoyed that, odds are you'll enjoy our entire podcast we did for the grand finals in two parts. You can grab it on iTunes. Thanks everybody for supporting Not the Footy Show and its 2-year run. We may or may not. See you next year.
You've been sleeping over there.